Movies exploring VR like Minority Report or The Final Cut ran effective pre-publicity for Apple's recent product announcement, Vision Pro, a headset that lets us put our faces into spaces generated by computer. Hollywood has primed us so thoroughly on what to expect and what to worry about that it's a big ask for the Vision Pro promo video to leave its mark on this cinematech of dystopian data spaces. But it had a go. Culturefile watched with our tech soothsayer Professor Aislinn Kelleher to assess the teaser to end all teasers. So Apple have released this thing, but they haven't. They've only released word of this thing, Aislinn. What is this thing?
The thing has been announced, and then we have 7 months or so to kind of come to terms with the fact that the thing costs $3,500. That's what you have to kind of think about.
Feels a bit like a pregnancy, like they've waited a couple of months to announce it, and now, like, with 7 months to go, they're telling us, yep, it's going to be a spatial computing headset.
I'm not sure if the analogy works.
Thank you.
Of the child. I kind of know maybe what to do with a baby, but and I'll probably realize it's a lifetime commitment. Not so sure with this that I'm going to be like, well, this is a 24/7 thing for me now. Yes, they're very interested in owning this new space that's about spatial computing, about being in your physical space and in your digital space simultaneously. Not quite talking about it as a virtual reality or even an augmented reality piece of technology, but really it's a way to bring your screens, all your screens, into your physical space. But it's a very technically dazzling, or as the video says, jaw-dropping. Apple never undersell.
They use this new term, spatial computing, and say that they have a spatial operating system. And as you point out, they also avoid things like saying virtual reality or VR or AR. They want to really claim that this is a new area that they're staking out for themselves, and certainly not anything like Mark Zuckerberg's Metaverse or any of the existing VR platforms that we might know. How new is what they're promising?
It's both new and it's both completely not new. I mean, really what you're doing is strapping a computer to your face, right? So that's what we're doing. And now I can, you know, sign my PDFs, right, with wearing my goggles as opposed to sitting at my computer. The idea here, and one of the things that they're really trying to work on, is the legibility, for example, of text in this virtual space. And that's always been a little bit challenging, particularly with documents or spreadsheets or anything like that. And I think the heaps of engineering technology that they've thrown at this enables them to place documents in three-dimensional spaces, which you can imagine would be kind of useful if you're doing a lot of data analysis or anything like that, or if you're like me and you have 250 tabs open, to be able to sort them in a different way could allow for a different level of efficiency at work, is one way of thinking about this three-dimensional spacing of the documents on your computer.
Actually, you don't see your eyes. You see what they've created, a kind of avatar of your eyes becomes...
Oh, don't say avatar. They don't want you to say avatar.
Okay, so yes. What are they calling it?
It's a persona.
A persona.
Yeah.
So other people are seeing a persona, which is a digital rendering of your eyes, and that becomes you, that people who are standing in the room while you're wearing this device talk to.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's totally natural, right? my persona. I mean, I think this is definitely one area where they're going to need to do a little bit of work on that, because some of the renderings where they're showing a person wearing the headset doing FaceTime with two other people who are, it seems in the video, I need that they're not wearing the headsets, but then they do show you as well what you would look like if you were rendered, you know, to other people to see it. And it's a kind of an uncanny valley mimicry of you. And I understand why they don't want to call it an avatar. They're trying to say it is you, isn't it? And you're like, no, it's not me.
One of the features that they advertise that it will take these sort of 3D memory videos, which the uptake of it is kind of a frightening idea that we would sort of swallow a lot of these things, but it will take a 3D memory video that you will experience in the first place and then replay in exactly the same fashion. So there will be no difference between you watching the memory and having the memory. And that seems to open up a big area of problems.
Yeah, because it's very, again, Minority Report, you know, where the Tom Cruise character is looking back over, you know, his...
Everything's Minority Report to
you. It is. It's just, you know, that's it. It begins and starts there. And even in the video, there's something almost sad about it. You're like, why is this man alone? Are they his children? Are they alive? So, oh, it reminds me as well of the movie The Final Cut. Robin Williams is in that, and it has this idea that you, in utero, you get a chip embedded in your brain and records everything. And then there's people who are called the cutters who edit it all together. So they get to look at all the footage. And it was both melancholic and also kind of really beautiful to look at life's worth of memories of, like, all the things you say, like, you've eaten, and then select what is significant. And how does the machine help you do that?
The fact that the brand is Apple here is the thing that's helping it along. Because as you say, there have been lots of companies, and say Leap, I think, was one of them,
right,
who kind of were operating in this area and basically have flopped. But maybe they don't have the kind of built-in constituency that an Apple product has, which might be the thing to finally get this over the line and make this spatial technology commonplace.
This is maybe what they're hoping for, is that because it fits with the Apple ecosystem already, so I can imagine down the line that as this gets a little bit cheaper, it could be a really useful way to see your information and manipulate it in a way that also supports, like, memory and cognition, because we remember where things are spatially. Right now, the computer is a little dense in terms of, you're like, well, where exactly is it? Like, it's in these folders. That's the analogy that we still have, as opposed to how we think of memory palaces in general as a technique that you can use to memorize really large amounts of data, is to visualize it in a house and move through the house and find it there. It could be kind of intriguing in that domain. I mean, it's like all these things. You just look stupid wearing them.
But you're on your own, so...
You're on your own, yeah. So that's what I'm like. I mean, they have solved the problem. Like, I hate the VR ones. I'm like, if I'm on my own and somebody comes into my house to murder me, at least if I have the other one, at least I could see through my goggles I'm about to be murdered. And I could film my own murder. Actually, that's a part of the final cut, that's one of the things. This guy witnesses a murder, and then they want to get the chip.
My seminal VR film is Brainstorm. Do you know that?
Oh, I don't know that, sir. Is it good or bad?
I haven't seen it in many years, but I did watch it a few times. It's got Natalie Wood in it.
Oh.
And it's about a total experience VR headset.
Okay.
And so it works through all the corruptions of what you might do, like somebody starts using it for porn.
Straight away.
And it becomes the David Foster Wallace device. You know, he's found dead with this kind of constant humping in his, playing through his brain and whatever.
Oh, goodness.
And then they try and, well, I won't give you away the ending, but yeah, it's worth a look.
Okay.
It is to Professor Aisling Kelleher there of USC School of Cinematic Arts, talking to us from Los Angeles.